Welcome to Cedar Creek. It is so good to be with you. If you're joining us at one of our locations, those of you that are here, it's so good. So good to see you. And those of you that are watching online on YouTube, on Facebook, later on in the week, thanks for joining us if we've never met. My name's Ben, and we have some special guests that tune in every week, some men at Toledo Correctional. I love taking the opportunity to welcome them and those that are watching on NBC at 10:30 or the WB. So will you put your hands together and welcome those who are watching at Toledo Correctional online TV. Thanks for joining us. Okay, show of hands, you can participate at home. How many of you are prepared for Christmas this year, okay? About a tenth of you. Good job. You just made everybody else feel terrible, and that's awesome. You're way ahead of schedule. The question is, when do you prepare? And there are rules about this. And so let's just step into a little, let's judge each other for a little bit, okay? That's what we do in church, right? When we first got married, for the first like 10 years of our marriage, my wife and I would get into a debate that somehow I would forget about most of the year until November rolls around, and I would hear Christmas music around the house. And I just had this value for many years that you just didn't start Christmas until after Thanksgiving. Who's with me? I mean, you just, okay, yeah, the majority of the people here. So you raise those hands with some passion and vigor, okay? So for many years, we would get into this debate, and I was stubborn and foolish, and, you know, I had heard happy wife, happy life, but on this one, you know, I'm going to take my stand, and I just got exhausted. I gave up. And this year in particular, I was one of the first to start Christmas music November 1st. I don't know if it was COVID, 2020, whatever, but I just realized that a happy wife makes for a great holiday season, and the best way to celebrate Christmas is with a full month of Thanksgiving and Christmas music. It just isn't enough. So, you know, eventually, this is how we've started to prepare a little earlier. Don't look at me that way, okay? I see you. Some of you, you're like, I can't believe you did it, Ben. But you know what? It's a lot happier in our household this year. So the question is, are you prepared for this Christmas? This Christmas is, like, are we ready? Yeah, we're ready for something different. But this Christmas is starting to, it just feels a little more challenging. I know our team is prepared for this Christmas. In fact, our service times for Christmas Eve services, December 22nd, 23rd, 24th, if you want to take a picture of that, get excited about that. In fact, we're preparing an online experience that will be a little different than our in-room experience. We realize that it's hard to help all of you at home feel what you feel in the room, and so we're trying to create an online experience that'll be fun for those of you watching online, and the in-room experience will be like what you, if hopefully we're still able to be open and all of that for our in-room experience for Christmas Eve, and I know we're facing some of the challenges that you all are tackling as you think about what's next this holiday season, but if you want more information, if you couldn't take a picture, you could text the word Christmas to 419-419-0707. If you want to save that number in your phone under Cedar Creek, like text Cedar Creek, we use this number all the time with different keywords to make sure that you have right in the palm of your hand the information that may be helpful for you. So Christmas to that number will get you all of that information. Now, this Christmas is going to be different. And I think we just need to acknowledge that it's not going to be the same. I know that some of you are facing different struggles depending on where you're at. For some of you, it's employment. For others of you, it's how much do I interact with my family or friends. Some of the things that you love about Christmas feel like they've been taken away. For others of you, it's battling with COVID or somebody who's related to that. Or it's just all the cultural stuff that comes with it. Or it's the politics, it's the unrest, it's all of this stuff. It's the injustice that you see, and it's like, and we all feel a little Grinchish headed into the holiday season. And so, yeah, this Christmas will be different, but the truth, the power, the actual significance of what Christmas is all about is unchanged. So what's really different? We can't participate in all the nostalgia. And I mean, I don't want to undermine that. Sure, it's great, but perhaps we can experience the truth about Christmas, maybe at a deeper, more personal or spiritual level. That's my hope, our hope during this series. And so let's begin at the very beginning. What is Christmas ultimately about? A word that you see is Advent. Got the Advent calendar, the Advent season, which means the arrival of a notable person, thing, or event. I mean, when I ask you what Christmas is all about, you say, oh, it's about baby Jesus. We're celebrating his birthday. So we get presents, right? I mean, that's kind of weird when you think about it. It's like what preschoolers do when they get invited to a birthday party. If you have kids, you know what I'm talking about. When my kids show up at your birthday party, they want to open your kids' gifts. And so maybe that's what we do at Christmas. It's like we make it all about us. Now, there's nothing wrong with gifts. And I think we know that presents aren't going to make COVID and 2020 suddenly feel better. Well, okay, if I could find a PlayStation 5, it might. I'm just saying, okay? I'm just saying. After all, I did surprise my wife with a new dog. This is Ramona. Isn't she cute? Yeah, that's right. If you want to see the video of her surprise, it's an amazing, it was awesome. So Lauren, if you're watching and you want to surprise me, I mean the kids with a PlayStation 5, they won't complain, I promise, okay? I know it wouldn't be much of a surprise, but that doesn't mean much to the kids, us anyway. So now... I know we know that Christmas is more than presents. And presents are a part of how we celebrate. But Advent, again, is the arrival of a notable person. And it's not just baby Jesus. It's God's son. It's Emmanuel. God came to do life with us. It's incarnation. The word means to make visible that which is unseen. It's literally heaven coming to earth. And so we're like, cool. I mean, that's cool. Yeah. Heaven coming to earth, you know, but that was a long time ago. And I mean, here we are, 2020. I'm struggling. You struggling? Yeah, you struggling. We're still struggling here. So I'm not really sure what baby Jesus is going to do to help me not feel exhausted and emotionally empty and relationally depleted and all of the struggles. I'm like, I'm done. What does Jesus' birthday have to do with that? Well, one of the reasons that we celebrate Christmas on December 25th. One of the reasons that we celebrate on December 25th is not because that's the day that he's born. Some of you are like, what? That's not his birthday? No. The reason that December 25th was picked in part was because of winter solstice. The early church fathers picked that season because the long dark of winter was ending and suddenly light was going to start coming back into our world. That date was symbolic of the thrill of hope where a weary world rejoices because yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. I mean, that's the heart of what Christmas is about. So the early church fathers would light a candle the first December and two candles the second and three candles the third, four candles the fourth Sunday of December to symbolize light coming back into our world. Now, when we think of Advent calendar, we tend to think of chocolates and a little pull-open thing, and it's not even that good a chocolate, or like if you're my kids, like Lego figurines that you get, you know. No. Advent is about light coming back into our life, that darkness isn't going to win, that Jesus is coming. Yes, we are remembering his birth, but it's more than his birth. We're remembering that Jesus is actually going to come back, that we're going to see him again. So maybe Advent's question is, are you prepared for Jesus' arrival in your life? Not just baby Jesus in a manger, but what if we were to imagine that December 25th, you were gonna meet Jesus? It could mean that maybe Jesus comes back, it's his second coming to earth, which will happen. Or it means it's your last day of life on earth and you're gonna see Jesus there. What are you prepared for that? I know at this point, some people are like, oh, shoot, man, I got to clean up my life. Does he know what I did last night? Shoot, man, Ben, what are you talking about? You're kind of messing me up today. No. This isn't about, like, what do you need to do so that God isn't disappointed in you, and how do you need to clean up your life over the next 25 days? You know, no. This is about, like, are you actually preparing for Jesus? Sometimes what comes to our mind is like, well, I got to read my Bible more. You know, I should get online. And Ben probably wants me to watch all of his messages for, you know, one a day for the... No, that's actually not going to help you. If you just try to do more good things, most of the writings in the New Testament aren't about how to avoid God's, you know, disapproval in your life. It's how do you open your eyes to not miss what God is trying to do. I mean, the bottom line for this series, and really for today, I think it's appropriate, is you prepare for what you care for. If you don't care about Jesus right now, man, I would love for you to reconsider that. But if you're just visiting with a friend or you're like watching online, you're like, I don't even know how I got here and why I'm still watching, but I'm watching, stick with me. Ultimately, if you don't care about Jesus, then you're not preparing for him at all. But if you call yourself a Jesus follower, If you're a Christian, if you say, yes, Jesus is the Savior, how are you preparing for him? You should care about that a little bit, you know? It's like, if we're not careful, we realize we're caring about a lot of other things. And we may actually be missing the beauty and the hope and the power of what has been unchanged about Christmas since the very beginning. God, before Jesus came, sent prophets. They were people who spoke out about what Jesus was going to be like, what to look for so that you don't miss it. In fact, Jesus himself had a prophet right before he started his public ministry. God sent someone to prepare people for Jesus. And I want to look at his words because I think he can prepare us for this Christmas. His name is John the Baptist. And it said, in those days, John the Baptist came to the Judean wilderness and began preaching. The Judean wilderness was on the southern, kind of eastern side of Israel. Think desert, rolling desert, north of the Dead Sea. I've been there. I've seen it. It's not a beautiful place. It's kind of a deserty place. And people would travel to see him. His message was, repent of your sins, turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And what's interesting about John, if you could get a visual about this, is John's clothes were made woven from camel hair, and he wore a leather belt around his waist. This is the only known fashion statement written about, I think, in the entire New Testament. And for food, he ate locusts and wild honey. So what we tend to visualize when it comes to John the Baptist is a bit of an eccentric character that looks like Santa's younger brother. You know, he's not related to Santa, but he's kind of got crazy hair. In fact, he was related to Jesus. He was Jesus' cousin. Some people may have even referred to him as like Crazy John. I mean, he's the first person on the scene eating a gluten-free diet that I know of, way before it was trendy, wearing camel hair and a weird belt, a bit eccentric. And what's amazing is it says that people from Jerusalem and from all of Judea and all over the Jordan Valley went out to see and hear John. Notice it didn't just say, hear John. Some people were like, I gotta see this crazy John, you know. So he was a spectacle. People would show up. For those of us that aren't familiar with the kind of the layout of Israel, they would take a half day, full day, multi-day walk just to sit and listen to John talk on the shore about repenting and turning to God and all of this stuff. And he was kind of like, if you know who Joe Rogan is outspoken, he's offensive, he's a little crazy, a little funny. You either hate him or you love him. And you can't really argue with the fact that people listen to him. He's one of the number one podcasts that's popular right now. John the Baptist was kind of the same way. He offended people. He was outspoken. He was a little crazy. You either hated him or you loved him. But what you see is that his words were resonating. People's lives were changing so much so that it says that when people confess their sins, he would baptize them in the Jordan River. Like, people would listen to him talk and they would go, I want what you're talking about. I want to see what it is that you're saying. And they would get baptized in the Jordan River and walk out. And hundreds of people were being baptized. And if you've never seen the Jordan River and you're from Northwest Ohio, the best metaphor is it's like a mini version of the Maumee, okay? You don't go to this river for like a bath. It's dirty, it's murky. So what's the significance of baptism? People think, well, you just need to clean up your life in order for God to approve of you. No, it'd be as ridiculous as taking a bath in the Maumee or the Jordan River. No, baptism was symbolic of dying, being buried, ending a way of life, and coming back with God's help in a new life, a being born again, a new direction. It's like, hey, I'm done with the old, and I'm stepping into the new. And many of the people who were baptized became Jesus followers. And so what was John the Baptist saying? Just like any good preacher, he had 3 points to his message. Repent of your sins. Turn to God. The kingdom of heaven is near. Sounds like a good Baptist preacher, you know, and some of you are like preparing for like fire and brimstone and for my nostrils to flare and, you know, all this. No. I think if we're not careful, we potentially miss how John is trying to prepare us. The first thing that I want you to see is that last sentence. Like, take that in. The kingdom of God is near to you, to me. The kingdom of heaven, it's the same thing. It's God's rule and reign. All things that represent the goodness, the grace, the power, the truth about God is accessible to us. It's closer than we think. even though you may feel like it is so far away because of what we're facing. So if it's closer than we think, why can't we see it? Well, you need to repent of your sins and turn to God. That word repent can create some negative shockwaves in people's minds, right? But it's really, the original language is this word metanoia. It's where we get the English word metamorphosis or transformation or conversion. It's a different way to live and look at the world. You can keep doing life your way. You can keep responding and living and trying to execute your own values. But if you do, you're like a caterpillar that never fully becomes a butterfly. And what John the Baptist is saying is, hey, if the kingdom is near, if the truth and power of Christmas, this Christmas is near, what do we need to do? There are some things you need to turn away from. There are some things that you need to turn towards. And there's an anticipation that you need to have. And we're going to talk about these over the next few weeks. The first one that I want to talk about is, what do you need to turn away from? I mean, John the Baptist said we need to repent of sin. Sin's another word that makes people, based on maybe your church experience, can be a roadblock or a mental trigger for you. So the word sin, in its original language and original use, is about separation. It's the choices, actions, the behaviors, the thoughts that separate us from each other, from our own hopes and dreams, but ultimately it separates us from God. So we tend to think of it as like the really bad things that we do, but I'll give you a simple example. When I allow a snarky comment to come out at my wife, does that bring us closer together or does that create a little separation? That's sin. When it's late at night, way past, you know, dinner time and treat time, and the Oreos are calling my name, not one, but 20 of them, you know, and I choose to indulge all 20 Oreos, is that moving me closer to the life? Well, some of you may be like, you bet it is, bro, eat them all, you know, but I think the truth is we know all of these choices, when we lie, when we brag, when we're proud, when we're hurtful, when we're rude, it separates us from each other. When people sin against you, you feel that distance with them, and this is true spiritually of God. Like when we make it about us, we're separating ourselves from the goodness and truth about God. And so John the Baptist was on the shore saying, hey, turn from those things that are separating you from God, from each other, from your own created purpose. In fact, hundreds of years before John showed up, this prophet Isaiah was speaking about John when he said, he is a voice shouting in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord's coming. Get prepared. He's coming. How do we do that? We clear the road for him. Some translations say you make straight the path. You clear the path. You give him direct access to your life. So the question is, what roadblocks or obstacles are keeping you from seeing or experiencing him this Christmas? What are the obstacles that could cause you to miss what Christmas is really all about? Like, Jesus is coming. Are you prepared for him? And so I've highlighted a few. I imagine that John the Baptist wasn't just repeating those three things. No, he was on the shore and he was giving examples, cultural examples of what people were struggling with, saying, hey, let's not let this cause you to miss that Jesus is here and he's going to be here soon. I mean, that's what Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. And so what are some of the things for us today that could cause us to miss Christmas? The first one that I thought of was destructive behaviors. Here's how I define this. These are things that feel good at first, but typically make things worse, okay? It's like, oh yeah, I'm gonna have a drink or two, and then the next day you're like, that's terrible, you know? It's like, we've all made choices like that. It's like, oh, this side thing feels fun at first, but it ends up just, you get kind of where I'm going? Big and small, we all do things that at first feel great, but when you're really honest with yourself, it's just going to make things worse. And I don't know if you realize this, but you're a multidimensional being. There is a physical body, and how you care for your physical body, some of you are doing things or consuming things in your physical body that, yes, they feel good in the moment, but they're just going to lead to outcomes that make things worse. Maybe it's time to turn away from some of those. I know it's tough. I know we're doing this to cope, right? We're coping with food, and some of you, have reverted to some old addictions, or maybe some of you have started some addictive behavior and you're thinking to yourself, I got it all under control. I got it. It'll be fine. I just needed to cope through this season. What you do physically impacts what you see spiritually. So I have a feeling that for some of you, I don't know who you are, but you're sensing God's spirit right now, hopefully gently saying, hey, don't miss me this Christmas. Don't engage in behavior that's going to separate you from your loved ones, from your own hopes and dreams. So what is it that you need to turn away from? Now, you're not just a physical being, you're an emotional being too. You have thoughts and feelings that you can't just get rid of. But you got to be careful about how they're taking over your life. You're a relational being too. And so how you relate with others, or maybe cut people out and stop relating, or maybe how you sexualize your relationship is going to impact you spiritually. Is there some things that you need to turn away from? Because it's going to separate you from the people that matter most, from your own created purpose, from what God has for you. For those of you that maybe feel like you need to go a little bit deeper in this, we started 2020 with a series called The Struggle Is Real. I think it's amazing how God was equipping us for COVID even before we knew COVID existed or was going to hit us. Go back, binge watch it. Watch it this week and go, okay, God, are there some things in my life that you need to change, that I need to turn away from so that I don't miss you? Are there some destructive behaviors? And for those of you that are caught in a cycle of hurt, a habit that you can't stop, a hiccup in your life, I would encourage you to come to Celebrate Recovery. Start now, before you continue to deteriorate down a path that you can't recover from. Let's not let destructive behaviors cause us to miss this Christmas. Another one that may not be you, maybe it's unhealthy expectations. This is typically when you start to hear the word should in your life. You should be doing more. They shouldn't do that. They should have done it differently. If they really cared about you, they should have done this. And what we need to realize is that our expectations shape more of our reality than we typically think. If you expect this Christmas to be like last, let me just tell you, you're going to be disappointed, okay? Because it's different. Our world is a little different this season. No matter how hard you try, somebody is going to ruin your expectation. If your expectation of yourself in this season is unhealthy, like you're expecting yourself to be further along, to be happier about this, to be just fine with everything that's going on, you're crushing yourself under unhealthy expectations. And if you're not careful, you'll do that with yourself and you'll do it with everybody else around you. Are there some unhealthy expectations that you need to turn away from? You know what's interesting about Jesus? Is it was the unhealthy expectations that people had about the Messiah that caused the people who walked and talked and could physically touch Jesus to miss him. Unhealthy expectations can cause us to miss a whole lot of good things that God may be trying to do in your life. Let's not let them ruin this Christmas for us. If it's not that, maybe it's empty distractions. Empty distractions are the ways that we mindlessly pass the time. And the truth is, when I'm tired and I'm done and I'm exhausted, I need that kind of mental distraction. And I know some of you love those things too, right? What I realize is we need to pick one or two, not 20, okay? It's like we don't need video games in every show to binge watch and then all of these other shopping and mindlessly scrolling on TikTok and being the expert at all this stuff and I'm gonna be legendary level on Call of Duty, you know, and Fortnite and all of this stuff. No, an empty life is a life that's void of meaning because it was filled up with empty distractions. It's filled up with watching other people do the meaningful things while we sit at home. And at the end of your life, what do you want people to remember about you? Like, what do you want your loved ones to say? What do you want your kids to say? Do you want them, like, when they're asked, hey, how was your dad? Like, well, yeah, he was good. He was around. He was really good at Call of Duty. I mean, COD, nobody could beat him, but you know, that's about all I remember. Oh, yeah, my dad was around, but he was on his phone a lot. Those are things that I need to pay attention to. And I mean, the truth is, they're never going to say I was good at Call of Duty because I'm not, all right? You know, but it's like, what are the empty distractions that you have in your life that you need to pay attention to? Maybe you need to turn away from. Pick one, two, yes. I'm not saying they're all bad, just not 20. Another one is unproductive negativity. unproductive negativity. This is a swirling state of sad. And don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that you shouldn't have negativity in your life, because the truth is, it's a tough year. It's a tough year for all of us for different reasons. And for some of you, it's almost crushing how difficult this year has been. And I've been messaging a young woman who has been diagnosed with a second time of cancer. She's got two young kids. I can't, Courtney, if you're watching, I can't even begin to imagine how to process all of that. She's asking profound questions about life and faith. If you would pray for her and for her family, I know she'd appreciate it. The truth is, some of you are facing similar circumstances. I'm not saying, oh, just ignore the negativity. You can't. But I think no matter how heavy it is, we can't let negativity take over our life. It's okay to feel it, but not get it stuck in a swirling state of sad or bad. And so give negativity an appointment. It might need a daily appointment for 30 minutes, or a weekly appointment for 30 minutes, or maybe a monthly appointment. And what you're gonna do is you're gonna mark down all the things that you're feeling heavy, sad, negative about, and you're gonna let yourself feel all of that for 30 minutes. You're just gonna step into it and be like, oh man, this is bad. You need somebody in your life who you're allowed to just pour out all the negativity with, but you're gonna bring an end to that appointment so that it doesn't become every minute of the day. And when it shows up outside of that, you have to tell yourself, I have space for you here so that I don't miss what God has for me, what God may be trying to do right now in your midst. Let's set an appointment for negativity. And one of the areas that I want you to pay attention to is a lot of conversation around this idea of self-care. I am a fan of self-care. I think you should take care of yourself. Let's just be clear about what that is. It's when you are carrying yourself into health. It's like, I'm going to do the things that I should or could do to help me be healthy. It's not self-pity about how miserable my life is, so I'm going to self-indulge that will ultimately lead to self-destruction. You see, some people are confusing self-care with self-pity, and they're giving themselves permission to do things that aren't really helpful or healthy or caring at all. Don't fall into that toxic trap, because that's not self-care. That's unproductive negativity unleashed in your life. And it's going to cause you to miss some of the good, purposeful, meaningful, yes, sometimes even difficult things that God wants to do in your life. If it's not one of those, maybe it's just lifeless words. Lifeless words are the words that take life away from people, from you. In the Proverbs, it says that life and death is found in the power of the tongue. Now, I'm not sure. Out of all of these, I can see all of them, but this seems to be one of the places we all seem to be struggling. And please, this is not me pointing a finger at you. I am in this with you. We're in this together. But what you say matters. What you choose to not say matters. The way that you say it matters. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. So let's speak words that give life. And let's turn away from words that bring death and separation and division. It's better off not to say them. We don't need that in this season. Take a minute. Do some inventory. Which of these things is one that maybe you feel like God's Spirit is just graciously, gently putting his finger on in your life? Because all of these things can cause us to miss what Christmas is all about. All of these things can cause us to miss what Jesus is trying to do in you and through you. And so find a one that is resonating, or two. Maybe some of you are like, there's a lot of me on that, okay? And how are you feeling about all of this? You know, it's like, I have a feeling that some of you are like, well, thanks, Ben. I was hoping to get in the holiday spirit, but you're like the Grinch, okay? You're telling me how terrible I am. Maybe the better question is, how do you think God feels about you? Do you think suddenly he's surprised and disappointed, like, oh my goodness, look at all those terrible, destructive, unhealthy, empty behaviors. I cannot believe that so-and-so, you're struggling with all of it. No. If that's your idea of God, it's wrong. Let me prove it to you. First century pastor says, the kind of sorrow that God wants, The kind of sorrow that God wants us to experience, what does it do? It leads us away from sin and results in salvation. It results in new life. There's no regret for that kind of sorrow. God isn't sitting up there hoping you feel miserable and stuck in the state of your being, of your life today. Or do we feel sorrow? Yes. Of course, we're like, man, I don't want to struggle with that. I don't want to be distracted by that. But that sorrow has a purpose to lead us somewhere life-giving. And what's interesting is in our world, he goes on to say, in our world, the worldly sorrow, which lacks repentance, results in spiritual death. Like, God isn't sitting up there going, hey, you need to get your life together and figure it out. No, he wants to be included in the process. And some of you are like, Ben, you don't understand. You don't know what kind of year I've had. You don't know the mistakes that I made. You don't know the things that I've done. Yeah, I want to move forward. You don't know how bad the struggle is, but I'm just not sure how. I'm not even sure God can help me. Hear this. Jesus fully understands. That's part of the beauty of the Christmas story, is he came to earth to experience it himself. He gets it. He knows all of it. He knows it better than you do. There's no secrets with him. And he's not saying, hey, suck it up, buttercup. You figure it out or else. No, he's saying, invite me into the process. Let me bring light into your world. And 1 John 1:9, it says that when we confess our sins to him, when we say, hey, I can't figure this out on my own. I'm stuck here. I need your help. He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. He loves making things new, and he sends his Spirit into those of us who surrender our life to him to bring light into our life. It's not always an instant light switch where suddenly there's never any darkness. No, it's a spiritual journey. It's a life-changing adventure where his light increases over time. Darkness decreases over time as he partners with us to make us new. And so be as kind to yourself as he is to you. Because turning away from these obstacles is what makes heaven party. It's what makes the kingdom of heaven, those angels in heaven, look down on earth with cheers. Jesus himself said it. He said, in the same way, there's more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. So if you haven't taken your first step and surrendered your life to him and say, hey, I'm done trying to clean up my life and I'm done trying to do it all on my own and I'm gonna surrender complete control to you. I'm gonna follow your leadership in my life. If you've never done that, then today's the day, friend, where you mark that first spiritual moment. You take your first step on this life-changing adventure with him and you just say, hey, I need to surrender control of my life over to you. So if you've never done that, do that right now in the seat that you sit, the quietness of your heart. Make that your prayer. Use your own words. Just wrap up some of the things that I've just shared here and say, God, I want that in my life. And today will be your spiritual birthday where you begin to experience this incredible life change. And for those of you that have already crossed the line of faith, this is what the spiritual journey is all about. It's ongoing confession. It's ongoing repentance. It's keeping our eyes open to make clear the path for him, to give him direct access to our lives so that we don't miss what he has for us. It's an ongoing celebration of God's light coming into our world. And when we see an area of darkness, we repent, we turn from it, and we let him change us from the inside out. Why? Because you prepare for what you care for. And if you care for him and his light and his goodness, and make straight the road. Jesus is coming. You're gonna see him again. So what is it that you need to turn away from so that you're ready, so that you don't miss what he has for you? Where's God trying to speak to you? Where is he trying to get your attention? If you wanna partner with us, we have an amazing team that writes every week a daily devotional based on the Bible. We call it the Living It Out, and we are going to take an Advent theme so you can adventure with us into the Christmas season every day. And every Monday and Wednesday, I'll be live on our social media platforms where we can pray together at the start of our day. You can always watch it later. But let's turn our gaze to God. And my hope and prayer is that you experience this theme verse as you start to turn away from the things that are keeping you from him this Christmas. Now may the Lord himself, the Lord of peace, pour into you his peace in every circumstance and in every possible way. May the Lord's tangible presence be with you all. So today, what do you need to turn from? What do you need to turn away so that you don't miss? Where do you need to repent? Where can we begin to experience his presence and be reminded that his forgiveness is like sweet honey on the lips? It's so good to remember our need for him, to celebrate and receive his grace, his invitation to experience metanoia, transformation. That is what Christmas is all about. So take a moment right now to connect your heart to that. Thanks.